If I have promises like that and I'm not seeing God do awesome things, then the problem's got to be if you abide in me. Well, obviously, we're not abiding in him, are we? Or if we go to church on Sunday, what else does God want? What do you think he wants? You're to put him first in how many things? All things. That's right, young lady. Not just on Sunday when it's time to go to church, right? You're to put God first how much of the time? All the time. 24/7. You're to stay in his word every day. You're to read it, to quote it. It's to be there. It's to be in your heart. It's to be in your mouth. You're not ashamed to praise and worship him anywhere, anytime. Talk about Jesus anywhere, anytime. He is your Lord. He's your God. He's your Savior. He lives in you. You're not ashamed of him. Amen. And then he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, if you've got the word of God hidden in your heart, if you really got the word hidden in your heart, it ain't a problem. What did he say you could ask for? And did he say it'll happen? That's what he said, isn't it? So if you ask and it don't happen, then there's got to be a reason, right? Something wrong. Maybe we're not abiding. Since you and your husband sitting there together, I mean, I'll pick on y'all. He looks like a good, easygoing guy. Let's just say that there's nothing you do during the course of a month that pleases your husband. Not one single thing. I mean, you didn't fix him dinner when he wanted it. I mean, you didn't do nothing. You didn't wash his clothes. You made him do his own. I mean, you didn't please him not one thing. And then you decided that you'd like to have a new car. So you went and said, honey, I'd like to have a new car. What do you think the chances of you getting a new car are going to be if you didn't please him at all and not one thing?
Not very good.
Not very good. That's a smart girl. Not very good. In other words, if we understand these principles, if you are the best woman on the block, I mean, you take care of him every way, perfect, beyond his wildest dreams. He don't even have to ask for nothing. You've already done it. You know, if you're that kind of woman, and then you say, you know, my old car is not as good as it used to be. He thinks, I'll get her a new one. She won't even have to ask. You see?
He did that.
He did that. Huh? Praise God. Now, see, if we're like that with Jesus, then what does Jesus do for us?
Anything.
That's exactly right. We put him first in all things. We really all you got to do is just say, Lord, this is what I'd like to have. And it happens. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what I did for our little granddaughter. I mean, I spent time with the Lord every day. I mean, I studied his word hours. I read it. I worshiped him. I praised him at work. I was always talking about Jesus. I'd walk into my workplace in the morning and I'd walk up and say, praise God, everybody. How's everybody doing in the name of Jesus? You know, I wasn't ashamed of Jesus. I talked about him. I praised him. I prayed over my meals in the cafeteria. I didn't care who was listening. You know, I wanted them all to hear. I wanted them to know I ain't ashamed of my Jesus. And then when this incident came in my life 9 years ago, my little granddaughter's laying down there. There she was, tore all to pieces, brain stem severed, eyes jerked out of her brain, skulls crushed in five places. Her little face is twice its size with little cut and lacerations all over her face. And every organ in her body is damaged, and then her right knee is crushed and her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And the doctors say, we're sorry, it's over for Caitlin. You're a Christian and you got that? When's it over? It's over when God says it's over. Now what's he going to do? You're going to say, well, maybe it's not his will to heal her. Now what did he say you could ask for?
Amen.
What did he say you could ask for? Anything? What's the requirements? Abide in me and my words abide in you. It's being that good wife, right? The one that abides in your husband. Take care of every need he has. Don't even think about yourself. Just make sure he's happy. Now that's a real woman, you know that? A woman that's her desire, to submit to her husband and make her husband happy in all things. That woman will have a happy husband and she'll be a happy woman. You know that? There'll always be. The Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask me what you will. Now then, so I stood there and looked at my little granddaughter with that promise. I said, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask for anything. I said, Lord, I've met the part, I believe, with all my heart. I have been in your word. I've studied your word. I got lots of scriptures hidden in my heart. So I believe with all my heart, when you say I can ask for anything, you will do it. I said, now, Lord, first of all, when I look at Caitlin, this little three-year-old blob of flesh laying here, I said, her little face is tore all to pieces. And Lord, I know when she grows up, she's going to be a normal little girl. She don't want scars all over her face. She's going to want her face to be beautiful and smooth. All you girls agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want your daughter to grow up. I mean, sometime a guy got a scar too in his face. Ain't a big deal with a guy, you know, but a girl, no. You know, we don't want no scars or no blemishes on our face. We want to be beautiful. That's women for you. That's the way God made them. Is that right, young lady? Sure. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to put skin back to skin. I don't want a scab to form. Nowhere. Because when a scab forms, it leaves a scar. So I just want you to bring skin back to skin. Now, what do you say I could ask for?
Anything.
Somebody says, you trying to tell God what to do? No, he told me what to do, didn't he, sir? So I'm saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, John 15:7, you said I could ask for anything. So I ask you to put that little face back together. I don't want any scars. I want all the redness taken out. I want it perfect. And then I want the brain stem reconnected, the eyes reconnected, the cracks in the skull where they said it's busted 4-5 places. I want it fixed. I want it perfect. I want every organ in her body fixed. I want her right knee fixed. I want her left leg where it's broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. I want it all fixed. And I promise you, I'll not let a doctor touch her. Is that what you call real faith? So Dr. Marks, head of neurology down there, he came in, he says, I don't understand how this little girl's still living. But he says, this week we're going to go ahead and pull the tubes out of her. And when we pull the tubes out of her, she will decease. You don't want to resuscitate her on a machine because she'll just be a vegetable. I said, no. This little girl's going to run and play, I guarantee. He said, sir, that's impossible. I said, do you know what Luke 1:37 says? He said, no, sir. I said, Luke 1:37 says, with God, all things are possible. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Oh, I believe that. So anyway, he said, I've just done the second MRI on her this morning, and there is nothing attached to her brain. Nothing. I said, you mean her brain is like free-floating in her head? He said, yes. The brain stem's totally severed. He said, the eyes are jerked out of the brain. So he said, she can't live. He said, there's not a doctor in the world that can put that brain stem back together. I said, the doctor that made that brain stem can put it back together. I said, and his name is Jesus. I said, I guarantee you on the word of the living God, my little granddaughter will run and play again. Now see, that's faith. Not if it's his will. Maybe he'll do it for me. See, that's unbelief. If he don't honor unbelief, then can I say anything but I guarantee his word will work? I mean, if I guarantee his word, does that mean I believe it? Yes. You don't hear many people that say, I guarantee he's going to do this for you. Do you? Why do we not hear more people say that? We don't have the Word of God hidden in our heart. Unbelief, that's exactly right. Unbelief. So anyway, I stood on that promise. And that second Thursday we were there, this Dr. Davis came out. She was a beautiful Christian doctor, probably 35 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. And she walked up to me and said, Mr. Scrivener, we're going to unplug Caitlin this morning. I said, good. She said, now you know when we unplug her, she's going to decease. And you do not want to resuscitate her. I said, ma'am, I'm going to guarantee you on the word of the living God that when you unplug her, she's not going to decease. But she's going to breathe over that machine on her own, and then that little girl's going to start coughing, and she's going to get up and sooner or later, and she's going to walk and run and play again, and she's going to fully recover.
Hallelujah.
And she says, "Sir, you are the only human being I ever met in my life that absolutely will not accept reality." She said, "You know she's going to die." I said, "Ma'am, I don't live in the reality world. I live in a faith world." Now, is that where Christians are supposed to live?
Yes.
Don't you think all of us Christians start believing God's wonderful promises?
Yes.
Isn't it time? So I said, "I'm going to take that scripture right there." And I said, "Now then, when all the doctors and everything showed up and the nurses," I said, "now I'm going to guarantee y'all on this word, I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to read that verse, John 15:7, one more time. And I'm going to guarantee you when you pull the tubes out of her, she's not going to deceive. She's going to breathe over the machine on her own. And because that scripture I just quoted a while ago in Mark 11:23, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I'll have it." Is that what he said? I said, "So she's going to breathe over that machine on her own." And I said, "And she's going to start coughing, and that little girl is going to fully recover." And they thought, "You're crazy." So they go over there and they start pulling all the plugs out of this little 3-year-old girl. They stand there and watch her. And they left the deal on that tells what her breathing rate was. And all of a sudden, instead of going to zero like they thought, it started going up 2 more points on its own. She was breathing 2 points higher with herself than she was with the machine. And then about 10 minutes later, she coughed lightly. And when she coughed, the doctor said, "She can't do that." And you wonder why we don't see God do anything. "She can't do that." I see, these are all Christian men and women. It's impossible. What she just done is impossible. And so about 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, she coughed again. She cannot be coughing. That's impossible. There's nothing attached to her brain. She cannot cough. There's nothing to tell her to cough. What made the brainstem reconnect? What made it?
Jesus.
Jesus. Why did Jesus do that for me? Was I making a complete fool out of myself? For him, I was.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "Have You Prayed Yet?" in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.